Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's a scriptural prayer, and it's a good one to pray on a morning in which we are experiencing the Lord's presence and his blessing in so many ways. This summer, we have been doing a series on vision and values. And so in speaking of Cary Alliance Church's vision, we have talked about worship and discipleship and fellowship and outreach and prayer. And we've actually already begun to talk about a couple of our values. Focused on Jesus Christ in everything that we do. Valuing children and children's ministry. Jesus valued children. And so we value discipleship. We value this being a place where children are welcome and where children are safe. Last week, a couple of our elders, I'm so grateful for Nathaniel and for Don. I don't know if you were here last week, but I've heard a number of comments about just what an amazing service it was, talking about praying in Jesus' name and then praying through that vision as a church family. And if you are watching online or if you were here this morning but didn't see last week's service, let me encourage you to do so. My family was away on vacation, but then came back, and when I watched that service, I was so jealous because it was a beautiful service, and I wish we had been able to be a part of it personally. One of the things that Don said was when his family first visited Cary Alliance, and it would be about 10 years ago, they figured, oh, we've just moved to an area, it's going to take us a while to find a church. They came to Cary Alliance Church and walked in and said, this is a praying church. I've heard that from others as well. I'm always blessed when someone perceives that and then engages in that. Prayer is a fundamental value, not only of Cary Alliance Church, but a fundamental value of God's people, a fundamental value of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. In the list of core values for the Christian and Missionary Alliance, we read, prayer is the primary work of God's people. And if you've ever looked at the value statement for our own church, we say that individual and corporate prayer is essential for a right relationship with God and with each other. This is something that we not only say, I hope it is something that we believe and that we put into practice. I was reading an article about prayer. If we as believers want to see the same mighty move of God that the early church saw, we must pray as the early church did. Show me a praying Christian and church, and I will show you a victorious Christian and church. We can have victory in prayer, and that then can be manifested. This is why we talk about it as a value, manifested across these vision statements and practices that we have, having prayer being manifested in worship, in discipleship, in our fellowship together, being the foundation of our outreach and the driving force of missions. So this morning we'll be talking about prayer as a value, and we're going to put a little bit of a different emphasis than we have in the many times that we've talked about prayer before, and that is specifically on the corporate aspect of prayer. What does it mean to be a praying church? By the way, we use that word corporate, and that might be confusing sometimes, and so I want to make it very clear that has nothing to do with being a business. The word corporate actually finds its root in the word for a body. And so when we do something as a church family, when we do something as the body of Christ, we describe it as being a corporate activity. And so prayer is essential for us, both individually in our own walk with Christ, but it is essential for us corporately. It's essential for us as a body. But what does it mean specifically to be a praying church? What does it mean to be a church that is devoted to prayer? And that brings us to this morning's text, which is Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, where Paul is beginning to wrap up his letter to the Christians in Colossae, and he says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." These verses are written to a church and first of all describe for us some of the basic characteristics of a praying church. How is prayer described for us as a body of Christ? And you saw the very first word there. A praying church is a church that is devoted to prayer. To be devoted to something in this sense is to be given to something, to persist in or to occupy ourselves with something consistently and regularly and seriously. The word has a very concrete meaning, and that is something that is ready or at hand for a particular purpose. I've shared this illustration before, and that is a pair of scissors that we have in our kitchen, right in the utensil container. If you need the scissors, you go to the utensil container, and they're always there, and you pull them out because they are devoted to a particular person. Now, my wife happens to be in nursery this morning, or she would be chuckling, because I do a very poor job of finding things. And I don't know how many times I say, "Miriam, where are the scissors? I need the scissors." They should be devoted to a particular purpose, located in that place so that they are ready, so that they are at hand in the moment that we need them. We have another implement in our kitchen, essential for life and godliness, and that is the coffee tamper. Because I get up in the morning and I make my cup of coffee, and we got to tamp down that espresso before we put it in the machine and get that essential first cup of coffee. Interestingly, it is actually always in its place. It doesn't get used throughout the day, but it is devoted to a particular purpose, and it is ready at hand for that purpose. And so in the New Testament, we see that word of being devoted to something being used in that context, something that is at hand, something that is ready, something that is, you might use the word, attendant. Oh, hey, everybody. For those of you online, the room lights went on and mine went off. Attendant, at hand. Ready. Jesus was preaching once, and he knew that he would need to get away from the crowd. So he asked the disciples to have a boat at hand. It was right there and ready for him at the moment that it was needed. Cornelius had a soldier who was a servant and a bodyguard, and he was at hand. He was attendant to him. My family just finished watching again the Lord of the Rings series. And I thought of Samwise Gamgee, who was always there. He was at hand. In fact, even when he was sent away, he wasn't far away in the moment of need. He was devoted. And we are called to be devoted, to have prayer ready, at hand, being prepared to give ourselves to it at a moment's notice. And so then this idea of being devoted extends to a variety of matters of faith. The habitual, that fancy thing is when they reset the lights. The habitual and regular practice of listening to the teaching of the word, of gathering together for fellowship and for praying. The church was devoted to these things. In the book of Acts, three different times we read about the church being devoted to prayer. They gave themselves to prayer. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul calls us to be devoted to prayer as he does in this book of Colossians as well. And so what I thought of as I watched that service last week and was so very blessed was, that was great. Can we do that more? Can we be a people who don't have one Sunday that we give to prayer and then we go on with our lives? What are we doing the rest of the week? What will we do tomorrow? What will we do next Sunday? What will we be doing next year? Is prayer right there beside us all the time as a people who are devoted to prayer? I am so glad that Don and Katie and their children came to Cary Alliance and said, this is a church that's devoted to prayer. There have been others who have joined our church who have made that comment. I'm glad because I suspect that they visited on one of those Sundays that we have a prayer emphasis. Will people pick up that sense every Sunday? Because prayer is the primary work of God's people. And because this is a church that is devoted to prayer. Now, one of the questions that occurred to me this week is, why? Why be devoted to prayer? What makes it so important? Of course, the first and fundamental answer, kind of like baptism, prayer is commanded. God, the Lord of the church, Jesus, the one whom we follow every day of our lives, said to pray. Pray without ceasing is the Lord's command to us. And so we pray because that's what the Lord tells us to do. But we don't pray as a perfunctory act that, well, okay, it's time to obey, and so I guess I'll pray. Prayer is a matter of grace. The author of Hebrews says to us that the throne room of grace is opened up for us by Jesus Christ so that we can enter in boldly and with confidence. That way was closed. The way to the Father was shut down. And Jesus, when he went to the cross and when he died and when he tore open that veil, he opened the way to the Father so that by grace, in response to his gracious work in our lives, we can go to him at any moment. And we go respectfully, in that sense of fearfully, but we don't go with the kind of fear that doubts and that trembles. We can go with boldness and with confidence because of what Jesus did. And prayer is a privilege. We have the opportunity to go into the presence of a loving and gracious and faithful and powerful Heavenly Father who is always ready, who's always attentive. He's not preoccupied with something else and saying, hey, come back in 10 minutes. He's right there. And as a father welcomes his child to his knee, he says, come to me. Tell me about what's on your heart, what's on your mind. Present to me the things that you need. Thank me for the things that I have done. And I will give you my peace. I will give you my power. I will give you what you need for life and for godliness today. What a privilege. This is why we can be devoted to prayer, because of our loving Father who hears and who gives good gifts to those who ask him. So a church that is devoted to prayer is one of the characteristics. Another characteristic is being watchful Devote yourselves to prayer, Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Watchfulness is another key term throughout the New Testament. It's talking about being vigilant. It's talking about being wakeful. It's talking about being aware of what is going on around you so that you can be prepared in the moment of need. It's having something on the front of your mind, not the back of your mind. On the front burner, not the back burner. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talks about our need to be watchful. Now, in this context, he's talking about his return and being prepared or ready for his return. And he urges his disciples to have that on the front of their mind. It's not a second thought, it's the primary thought. And he shares the illustration of 10 bridesmaids who are to be prepared for the moment that the bridegroom arrives, and they are to have their oil in their lamps ready. And those who are vigilant and those who are watchful, they don't know when that bridegroom is coming, but at that moment, they're ready, and they go out, and they greet him. And the ones who were not vigilant and weren't prepared, who had that on the back of their minds, are scrambling to try and figure out, oh no, how can I be ready? Jesus wants us to be watchful, and we should be watchful in prayer as well. The common element there is keeping something at hand in readiness and being on the lookout. Are we on the lookout for opportunities to pray? Not as an afterthought, but as the primary thought. Jesus himself then connected watchfulness with prayer when he took his disciples into the garden with him on the night that he was betrayed. He said, "Watch with me and pray." And then we see such a human aspect in that in spirit those disciples were willing, but why did they keep going to sleep? Because in flesh they were weak. Jesus says, be watchful. Be vigilant, be alert. Of course, with spiritual warfare, that has a particularly strong emphasis. The enemy of our souls is watchful. He is prowling around looking for an opportunity to tempt, an opportunity to steal, and an opportunity to destroy. And watchfulness in prayer is praying what Jesus gave us, praying the armor of God, praying truth, praying righteousness, praying readiness, praying salvation, praying faith, and praying the word. At a moment's notice, when the temptation or the trial, when the test comes our way. A devoted church is a church that is watchful in prayer. If prayer is the primary thing, then we look for opportunities and we seize those opportunities to pray. And then a third characteristic of a church that is devoted to prayer is that it is a thankful church. This is actually a special element of what it means to be watchful. Watchful in all kinds of things, but watchful for opportunities to give our Heavenly Father thanks. It's interesting. Thankfulness matters to God. He wants us to be thankful. Jesus made a special point of thankfulness as he talked about the 10 lepers affected by a terrible disease, something which they could in no way heal and in which they had no hope. And they came to him and were healed. And all 10 rejoiced, of course, but only one came back to give thanks. Is there only one who is grateful? Jesus asked. Prayer and thankfulness are frequently connected throughout Scripture. In everything, give thanks. The Apostle Paul says multiple times, in all of my prayers, I pray with thanksgiving for what God is doing. I thank my God for his work. He is my all in all. He gives everything. He is the source of blessing. And so in all of my prayers, at all times, I give thanks, says the Apostle Paul, giving us an example of thankfulness in prayer. Thankfulness in prayer is important because it is an expression of worship. Here we talked about worship as part of our vision as a church. Well, an important aspect of worship is ascribing to God his worthiness. And when we give him thanks for something, we are saying, you are the one who is faithful. You are the one who is powerful. You are the one who accomplishes these great things. And so you are worthy of thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory. Thankfulness in prayer is worship. Thankfulness is also important for us because it is an acknowledgement of our dependence. Thank you, God, that you did this because I know that I can't. You are the source of every good thing, and I am dependent on you. This rids us of pride. We cannot say, look what I accomplished, when we recognize that everything we have comes from him and is a manifestation of his grace in our lives, and so we return it to him in thanksgiving. We cannot have a works mentality. I'm working hard to please God and to accomplish the things that I'm supposed to accomplish. We can't have that kind of mentality that focuses on ourselves instead of on his grace when we recognize that we can accomplish nothing in and of ourselves. And so any good thing that we see, we come back to him with thanksgiving. Thankfulness rids us of pride and works mentality. Helps us to view ourselves with humility and to view God with glory. In talking about these aspects of prayer, devotion, watchfulness, thankfulness, an example that came to mind was that of Nehemiah in the first two chapters of his book in the Old Testament, in which he described the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. The people of Jerusalem had been driven into exile. Some of the people had returned to Jerusalem, but the complete return had not yet been accomplished. Nehemiah was still in Persia, serving in the court of the king of Persia, Artaxerxes, and his brother came to visit him. And Nehemiah says, hey, what's going on in Jerusalem? And he learns that the walls are still broken down and the people are still vulnerable the city is still in a terrible state. And Nehemiah's heart is broken. And then the rest of chapter 1 is given to a lengthy prayer in which Nehemiah gives us an example of what it is to claim God's promises, what it is to lay before him our brokenheartedness and our repentance, and what it is to ask him to do the things that we cannot do. And so you have an example of devoted prayer in the context of time given to it. The one thing that you might not pick up is that he does that for somewhere between 4 to 6 months. It's late fall that this conversation takes place. He that day says, God bless me this day and answer my request. But it isn't until early spring, as Nehemiah has continued to pray, that we get to chapter 2 and the opportunity for an answer comes. Then in chapter 2, Nehemiah, who is the cupbearer for the king, is in the king's presence. The king can see that he's sad, and he says, Nehemiah, what's wrong? And Nehemiah tells him about the sad condition of his city. And the king says, what do you want me to do? And Nehemiah prayed. Now, Nehemiah doesn't tell us what the content of that prayer is, but I can guarantee you, well, I can't guarantee, we understand that he wasn't falling on his knees at that moment and spending the next 20 minutes in prayer before he answers the question. The king says, "What can I do?" Nehemiah says, "So I prayed and I said." That's another kind of watchfulness and readiness. At the moment of need, saying, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me the words." Whatever that popcorn prayer is how it's described sometimes. As well as the long prayer, it is an expression of dependence and need, of asking and of thanking. And so he was ready at the moment of need. Pick up my prayer and put it into practice, and then answer the king. And then later on in the chapter, he honors the Lord by saying, "It is the Lord who gave this answer." Nehemiah was a man who gives us an example of what it means to be devoted and watchful and thankful in prayer. So then what does a church pray? The disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so we received the Lord's Prayer. If you want an example in prayer, Jesus gave a great one when he said this is how to pray. Jesus also said to ask and to seek and to knock. There are so many instructions about prayer through Scripture. These verses give us an example of what it means to be a praying church. And so we're going to look at two things that the Apostle Paul describes here in Colossians chapter 4 about what the church prays. The first thing is that the church prays for opportunities or for open doors. Verse 3. So he said, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too," Paul and his companions on mission, "that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains." Pray that a door will be open for the message of the gospel. Paul talks about open doors a lot. When he writes to the church in Ephesus, he says a door has been opened wide. When he's talking about the city of Troas, he says, "A door was opened for me in the Lord." The Lord is the one who opened this door. In Asia Minor, God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So this was an important concept in the apostles' mind. He looked for open doors, and he prayed for open doors, and he asked the church to pray for open doors. Now, we've already talked about the fact that prayer is an expression of our dependence, asking God to do things that we can't do. Well, here is a great example. We can't open doors. We can't open doors into new regions for gospel ministry. We can't open doors into the hearts of our neighbors or our coworkers, the people that we go to school with. We can't open doors into the hearts of our own family members. If work is going to be accomplished, it is God who does the work. Whether we're talking about salvation or whether we're talking about growing in our faith in Christ, or any of the other things that we long to see in our lives, we can't make it happen. God is the one who opens those doors. He is the one who does the work. And so the church prays for God to do what we cannot do. In missions in particular, this is one of our main points of vision, is an impact around the world as we send people out and as we support them in their going and as we pray for them. Let us be a church that is devoted to praying for our missionaries and the work of the gospel around the world, that God will open doors for effective service. So, praying for opportunities is asking God to do what only He can do. And we can extend that, as we've already started to talk about, into just about every area of our Christian life. Yes, missions. But what about discipleship? He is, in fact, the one that we follow, and he is the one who accomplishes change. And so when we talk about discipleship, we do so prayerfully. What about the future? Can any of us know or control or change our future? Absolutely not. We're asking God to do what only he can do when we put the future in his hands. What about our friends or neighbors or those who we long to see come to faith in Jesus Christ? What about family members that we're praying for? We are asking God to do what only he can do and throwing ourselves in dependence on him. What about health needs? What about the outcomes of plans we might be making? Just about every area of life, we are forced to acknowledge we actually have no control. And so we pray, asking God to open doors, asking God to do what only he can do. If we actually have that perspective on our lives, then no wonder we are called to pray continually. I can't guarantee my safety on the road home. I can't think of the last time that I've left Cary Alliance to drive the 10 minutes down the road to downtown Apex and said, Lord, keep me safe on this journey. But you know what? I probably ought to. Because I can't control it. And he can. And that then leaks into every area of our lives. This is why prayer is the primary work of God's people. Because he is the primary worker. And we depend on him. But this is also a commitment to action on our parts. If we are praying for an open door, what is implicit there is that when God does the work, we will step through it. And honestly, my heart is broken at this point. As this week I considered various times that God has opened a door for me in my life and I've been too busy or I've been distracted, preoccupied, afraid, whatever it might be. And so the second thing that Paul tells the church to pray about, pray that God may open doors, and then the next verse, pray for me that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. A request that we would be faithful to do what we are called to do. Do we recognize that we can't open the doors? But then are we prepared to step through when he opens the door? Again, whether it's missions, whether it's discipleship, any area of our lives, being committed to what God has called us to. I thought about that this week in the context of the vision statement. We've already talked a little bit about missions, but what about worship? We are asking God to manifest his presence among us when we come together for worship. What is our response then? It's not to be ashamed. It's not to water down the word. It's not to be distracted, not to dilute our message with secondary issues, whether it be legalism or personal agendas or politics, putting those things aside because we are longing to see him at work among us and then be faithful in our worship, in our praying, in our singing, in our proclamation of the word, in our serving of each other, in all of these things that we do together, making him the focus and his work among us. In our fellowship, a couple of years ago, we did a survey about small groups, and it was astounding. The number of people who responded and said, what I really need in my life is opportunities for fellowship and opportunities for prayer. And so if we are people who are devoted to prayer, being watchful and being thankful, praying for opportunities, then we are a people who will engage in prayer when we gather together, doing the thing, being faithful to do the thing that we are called to do. Same thing in our discipleship. It's important in discipleship to learn and to study the Word of God. But it's important to pray together, to give that example of what it means to pray, to grow in prayer together, to challenge each other in prayer. And in outreach, of course, being ready to be faithful. We as a church are praying for God to open doors into our community and into our neighborhoods and workplaces and into our schools. Being faithful to step through and clearly and lovingly, gracefully and truthfully, faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ when he opens that door. So be devoted to prayer, watchful, ready, thankful, because we're dependent on him, asking him to do what only he can do, and prepared to follow through when he opens the doors. If we would like to be a church that truly is devoted to prayer, a praying church, then first of all, we must be a praying people. There's three things that I think that we can do to grow as a praying people. And one is to confess prayerlessness. When the prophet Samuel was saying farewell to the people of Israel, he said, "Far be it from me to sin against God by failing to pray for you." This injunction to confess prayerlessness flows out of that concept that it is a sin against God when we fail to pray. Now, I don't want anybody to pray because you feel guilty. We're coming to the throne of grace, availing ourselves of an incredible privilege purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. But one of the things we do when we come before that throne of grace is to acknowledge before a loving Father the areas in which we have fallen short, receiving from him forgiveness and power for living. And so if we want to be a praying people, let us confess prayerlessness. Let us also recognize our need. And we've already seen a primary way of training ourselves to recognize how very much we need the Lord is to give thanks. When we thank him for our food, we are acknowledging we can't put it on our tables. Oh, but maybe I can because I'm the one who worked and earned the money. Well, you know what? God's blessing of strength and health and intelligence or whatever is needed in the particular job that you have comes from him and depends on him. And so when we thank him for our food, we're thanking him for being gracious to us and giving us what we cannot provide for ourselves. When we thank him for a good thing that has happened in our lives, we're acknowledging, I'm repeating myself here, but it's so important. We are acknowledging that he did it and that we cannot. And this exercise of thanksgiving grows in us that sense of dependence, of recognizing our need, and then increases our prayerfulness. Wow, God did that thing. I'm going to pray about this thing as well. Seen that in my life in this last year. God answers. And that puts us in a position of greater dependence and faithfulness in prayer. And so let us confess and let us recognize our need and then cultivate the habit of watchful prayer. Establish this habit. Jesus had a habit of prayer. He took the time. He didn't find the time. He identified the moments when he could pray instead of waiting for the moments to come to him. Jesus had a busy day of ministry. He taught a great crowd of people. He healed those who needed healing. Nightfall was coming, And do you know what he did in those quiet hours that he finally found for himself? He didn't turn on Netflix so that he could empty his mind for a few hours. He didn't doom scroll through TikTok. He went to his father to pray. He didn't do that because he had to. He did that because he longed to, because he knew he needed to. He wanted to be in fellowship with a loving father who would listen to him and would direct him. And so we cultivate that habit of prayer, even as Jesus did. We look for and we seize opportunities to pray. A chance meeting in which God brought somebody our way, it might be somebody that we know and love, it might be a complete stranger who shares a need, and we say, hey, can I pray with you about that? Seizing that moment for prayer, putting it in his hands, giving an example of his grace. For sharing coffee or on the phone with somebody, I used to feel so awkward praying over the phone. You know what? It's a great connection with somebody to go before the Lord together when you've been talking on the phone and a particular need comes up. In any moment of need, not having prayer on the back burner, but on the front of our mind, let's pray about that. So establish the habit, look for and seize the opportunities, and particularly if we want to be a praying church, let us do that here as a church family. We have a discipleship and fellowship hour every Sunday. You can come and you can go to a Sunday school class and they pray in that Sunday school class. You can also get a cup of coffee and sit at a table and talk with somebody you haven't been able to connect with for a little while and pray together. If it's not a rainy day, you can walk the path around the church and pray together. Groups can gather for prayer. Let's seize opportunities during that hour. After church, you're going to be talking together. I love how our church lingers and fellowships. Let's make that an hour of prayer as well. And you see it sometimes, don't you? A little group sitting there at the table in the back or outside because you've talked about a need and you take the opportunity to pray about it naturally, because that's who we are as a people. When we visit each other, when we're in each other's homes, a praying people and a praying church. So then what does it mean to be a praying church? And I just have a list of opportunities that we have. When we gather in our small groups, let us not just devote 5 minutes to prayer at the end because we had such a good time fellowshipping and studying the word that we don't have any more time for prayer. Let's make prayer a central part of our small group time together. When we have meetings, I was thinking in particular of our elders' meetings and how we've been making an effort to give more time to prayer in our elders' meetings. But in all of these different meetings, what an opportunity to pray together. In our worship service, the prayer time that we have in worship service is an intentional moment of corporate prayer, and we seek for it to be a moment of discipleship as well. We want the praying that we do to be the kind of praying that we all can do in our own lives. We have prayer requests that come out on the church news, on Realm or on Connect. Take a moment to actually pray. We have pre-service prayer. I'm so blessed by those who gather at 10:10 on Sunday morning in the church library and pray for the service, and others who pray through the service. We have an online prayer meeting every other Tuesday night. Here's a big one. We have quarterly prayer as a church family. You will see it advertised, church-wide quarterly prayer this Sunday, 9:15, room 115. Please come and pray. And so many other opportunities. We have been talking about vision. Let us have a vision that is bathed in this value of prayer. Worshiping, discipling, fellowshipping, reaching out. and sending and supporting missions as we are a praying people. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, in thinking of that one example of a lifetime of prayer that Jesus gave us, we're so very convicted and impacted by the example that Jesus gave us, the perfect Son of God who had unbroken fellowship with the Father, taking those moments because he longed for them. And then you, the Father, welcoming, listening, hearing, responding. Make us a praying people, we ask. Lord, I thank you for these testimonies that we have heard about prayer at Carey Alliance. Will you please increase us as a praying people? Will you help me, each one of our leaders, each one of our teachers, everyone who plays a role in discipleship or in outreach, to continually, faithfully, persistently come before you, falling before your throne of grace in need and in longing, in seeking and in asking and thanking. Lord, we've been talking about a vision. We don't want it to be a human vision, but rather one that is from you. And so we present that to you prayerfully. Lord, we thank you for the VBS that we had this last week and the video that we saw, Pastor Cameron's words. Father, we pray for children who were at VBS this week and perhaps heard the gospel for the first time. You opened the door, they came. Your servants were faithful to proclaim your word. And so we ask you again to do the work that only you can do, and that is to bring new life, salvation, hope, and a future. We extend that to every area of our church's ministry, thanking you for all that you've done, and just asking you to continue to pour out grace. In Jesus' name, amen.